Blog Talk Radio.
To the sky!
it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep your head to the sky. Welcome to another edition of Progressive. Wait a minute. Back that thing up. Productive News Weekly. That's right. We're here as Productive News Weekly, moving forward, upward, and onward. The name may be slightly different, but we're just as live or more, keeping it real, keeping it on time, more than ever before. My name is Darryl Clark, and welcome to another edition of Productive News Weekly, where, with a slight name adjustment, we continue to bring you news and information that's culled from everywhere. It's news you can use. It's news for you, by you, and of you, and that may have a certain ring to it and sound familiar. Yes, it does sound similar to that Constitution that we all, well, live up under, where we, whether we want to or not. It's news that's truly intended to be informative, encouraging, empowering, inspiring, and hopefully instilling, indwelling, such that you will get involved and make a difference for yourself, for your loved ones, your family, your neighbors, your community, indeed your cities and towns and counties and states and these United States, for those of you in America, living for America, the continent, and the world at large. Yes, we do have that responsibility, folks, starting with us, as Mike would say. The man or the woman in the mirror. And that's really what we're all about. Creatively being productive. And that is why we made that adjustment. It's not a change, you see. It's just simply an adjustment. No different than the ones that we, you and I, must make in our daily lives. You see, that's what man and mankind is all about. It's how we've been able to survive for these millenniums of years, making adjustments, right? As the air changed, our capacity to be able to utilize that air or oxygen exchanged, enhanced, however you want to look at our evolution, we've evolved. We must be ever so careful as we evolve because we're responsible with every step of our evolution. We become more responsible. So, as the saying goes, too much is given, much is expected. And as we're given that insight and that enlightenment, we're expected to utilize it. And that makes Productive News Weekly ever so more important, that we evolve. These last many, several, depending on your perspective, few months have been one of introspection and reflection, resolution, resolve, and rebounding. Times we need to step back, right? And really take a look at the forest from which we exist in. That's why it's ever so important to have people that you trust around you. Why so many people are not here today. Of course, there's no coincidence that those who are not here today are not meant to be here, friend or foe. It's all in divine order. But it's up to us who are still here to observe, reflect, and respond. And so with that, yes, a process is not over. However, I did believe, do believe, that it's time that we begin to re-engage. And so tonight, we are live, folks, in those months, weeks past. We have been doing many replays, which in and of themselves are important. As I look back and listen to some of the replays over the years past, it's like a movie. You know, every time you watch a movie, you're pretty much guaranteed to see something that you missed or hear something that you missed. And so even I, who was producer and host of these programs, in listening to them, found something, well, that I hadn't really even caught myself. The likes of some of our guests past of Dr. Eddie Taylor, sociologist, Miss Eula Pasternak, GMO expert, energy expert. When I say energy, I'm not talking about your local gas or electric. I'm talking about human, divine energy with which we all exist. In fact, this evening we're going to be delving somewhat into that arena. Ron Crenshaw, historian, analyst, our own Miss Norma, Cosmic Beauty Clark, songstress, author. Indeed, our guest this evening, Dr. Master, respectfully said, Glenn Mendoza, pranic healer, MD, astrology expert and meditation specialist. Mr. Dick Gregory, my mentor, and, well, some would say there aren't words to describe Dick. Truly ahead of his time. I can't suggest enough that you just get on Google and YouTube and just pull up some of his programs, not just here, but that he's done around the world. And much of what he had to say is so relevant today. What's going on in our society right now, how he often used to state, just give it enough time. If you read, you'll understand. And if you don't, it'll slap you in the face eventually, and you'll see it. But that's what's happening now in our society, where there's just so much deception and misleading going on. There's no more media, basically, in terms of news as it used to be depicted. There's just ongoing political infomercials. Politics is, well, they've always been corrupt, but we don't have politics any longer. We just have corporate entities masquerading as politics. You see, we're taking social trips into outer space now. Dick talked about that. Folks are ready to leave this place, and they're leaving it in a mess. And when I say they, I'm talking about, as we say, the powers that be, power being the ability to influence one's own well-being, not necessarily having to do with money, but most typically, yes, it does. So we need to be ever more vigilant who we listen to, what we watch, where we go, who we associate with. Because what's happening around the world, for the most part, is not really for you, by you, or of you, specifically in these United States, specifically in your state, specifically more than likely in your community. The whole Black Lives Matter and left wing, right wing, it's it's all a mess. The so-called news, you gotta give credit where it's due. For the most part, it's significantly fake. We don't even know what we have in office now. Who's really running the government? It's clear if you're honest with yourself. All biasness, prejudiceness aside, and truly, truly relying on your good, God-given, parent-birthed common sense, regardless of how many educational degrees and certificates and states of knowledge you may have acquired, it comes down to good old common sense. And so you and I, those listening to Productive News Weekly, have an ever so more important responsibility, because we are enlightened. The virus, the Wuhan, China virus. I don't like to say I told you so, but I told you so. Back in January of 2020. How many of you had that before January? Raise your hand. Look at all the hands. I can energetically feel your hands. Even if you didn't raise them, going up mentally. I'm also speaking to the future, to those listening in the archives. You know you had a taste of that. That thing hit America back in 2019. And Fauci, you notice these names. God makes it simple, folks. He makes it simple. Fauci. Yeah, you got to laugh because you can't make this stuff up. So my prayer is for all my listeners and loved ones and those who seek truth and wellness is that we be well and we be strong. We be holy, holistically, righteously well for ourselves as well as our loved ones and family. That if we don't even utter a word, our energy will germinate and make a difference. Because right now, those who are controlling the media for the most part are in a very, very dangerous position. Statistics are telling it. If you listen and read, like my mentor Dick Gregory would say, just read. I used to always say, stop asking me where I get all my information. He used to curse. Nigger. Motherfucker. Just open a darn book. And don't read one. Don't read one side of the story. When you spend your money, do you just spend it on one side of the dollar? Think about that. Well, I mean, with the Bitcoin and all this other mess that's coming out, I mean, that may be an obsolete term, but not necessarily. When you give somebody a quarter or a dime, which is becoming rare, do you just give it to them with heads up or heads down? And you give somebody a 20 for that tenth of a gallon of gas, which it will be soon. I told you so. $4 a gas from $2. Arsenio Hall, my homeboy, used to say. What's wrong with that? Oh, I got $1,400. But wait a minute. Cost of living went up 20%. That eats up my $1,400 in about a month when I consider grocery gas. I'm being played. But we aren't thinking like that. We're being misled. Yeah. But this isn't what this program is about tonight, folks, because you know what? This is all about positivity. And it is positive. It's a positivity because we are aware of what's happening. And if, as I said, you don't say a word, and I would reason with you if, depending on your environment, that you don't say a word. I mean, if you're in one of those communities that are, well, witch hunting, and you say something against the so-called status quo, it could put you in a situation. So sometimes we just have to work off the energy. And people didn't understand what Gil Scott-Heron meant when he said, the revolution will not be televised, it will be live. He wasn't talking about social media. He was talking about what is real. And our guest tonight will talk about that. Because you see, is real. And everything is energy, and energy is everything. And that's a great segue into our guest this evening. Our guest this evening is none other than Dr. Glenn Mendoza. He's been on the program many, many times. And he's truly, he's an icon. I mean, we just have to speak on it for what it is. And it is a blessing to be able to have the likes of a Dr. Glenn Mendoza on our program. And so I encourage you all, sit back, absorb, observe, and participate. The lines are open. This evening, we are live. Yes, we are live. And, you know, I don't mince words. I don't always agree with everything, including Dr. Mendoza, even Dick Gregory, my mentor. I think if I had have agreed with everything that he said, he probably would have disowned me. As he used to say, like my own dad, who had the same name, Richard, be your own person. I don't care who it is. Be your own. And so that's why I speak truthfully. The ethers of the universe will take care of the rest. Excuse me, we had a break there in the audio. So yeah, it's important that we be ourselves, because therein lies our value, not just to ourselves, to our family and loved ones, but to the world and to the universe. And it's that energy that I was talking about, where even though you have a mouth that's closed, you have a mind that's open. And through that mind is how we determine who we are, whose we are, what we're about, where we're going, and how we're going to make a difference. So keep your thoughts well, folks. So we're going to continue with reaching out to Dr. Mendoza. I'm going to see if we can get him on the line. Dr. Mendoza, by the way, travels around the world. He's recognized worldwide around the world. He travels when he comes off the plane. There's often hundreds there waiting and recognizing him as, well, some would say a sage. You know, a man of great wisdom. And so we're going to continue to reach out to Master Glenn, as he's respectfully referred to. You see, he's a master of pranic healing. And we're going to dive a little deeply into that this evening, just what that is, how you, too, can even utilize it. See if I can get my engineer here to reach out to Master Glenn. And if you would, just bear with us. I'm going to take just a one-minute break, I love that tune. Keep your head to the sky. So we're going to just play a little excerpt from that as I see if I can get my engineer to reach up and get a Master Glenn on the line. Chances came to make me strong. What a beautiful sound. Beautiful song. Of course, that's Earth, Wind, and Fire, Head to the Sky. Appropriate for our program this evening. Keeping it up. Head up. Head up, folks. I tell folks when I'm leading exercise programs, I do, you know, training, exercise, fitness. And I tell folks whenever you're working, keep your head up. Keep your head up. It's really a mantra for life. Keep your head up. My dad used to say, keep your head up, dude. No matter what. No matter what. And never, ever, ever, ever give up. Yep. Appropriate for now. In these days and times, folks. Folks are so misled. I mean, by masses. But not as much as you may think. You see, let me talk a little bit. And we are trying to reach Master Glenn. As I said, Master Glenn travels the world. So we're not sure if he's in Budapest or if he's in South America. We don't know exactly where on the planet, he might be. So we're just going to, he may be here in America on the West Coast or... But we will reach him. I spoke with him earlier in the week, a few times, in fact. And, of course, with everything going on, he considers this still to be an auspicious time. You know, a time of great opportunity. And that's what we really have to perceive it as. Because we are the energy that we seek. We truly are. And sometimes that's hard to instill in an individual, and I work with a lot of people, even in what I do for a living at this time, and working with individuals and their well-being mentally, physically, and spiritually. My major message is, as our bumper cover tune is stating, keep your head to the sky. And we're not talking just physical. You know, you think about it. When you look up, what do you see? Night or day? I mean, if it's night and it's cloudy, and if it's daytime, it's cloudy, you're going to see clouds. I'm talking on a clear night or a clear day. Even if there's no moon out, you're looking at stars. In the day, somewhere, there's a sun. Those are divine bodies. And just think, that's a small microcosm of the universe. So there's no coincidences that we're here. And I would submit to you that that energy is of you. In other words, that sun would not be there if it weren't for you and I. Wow, that's a deep concept, right? So what does that make us? There's no need for fear for all this rhetoric that's going on. There's no need for fear. You turn on and you watch the current politics and what happened in the last election and all that rhetoric that's going on. You have no fear. This vaccine mess that's going on, this fabricated thing that was brought out of a laboratory. There's no need for fear, folks. It is what it is. It's going to be. What is what has been. And what will be is what has been. There's nothing new under the sun. And so, embrace that. And I may have misstated where you've heard that saying. It's, of course, a takeoff on, I believe it's Ecclesiastes. But I don't claim to be a Bible scholar. But it is very true. Mom used to say, everything cycles. It's a 20-year cycle. I love her. Let's see if Master Glenn is with us. So, folks, I'm just talking a little bit about this virus. I pray you and yours, if you're listening here, you know, that's an indication that you survived because you wouldn't be able to listen. Of course, if you're listening in spirit, because I do recognize that. I mean, I know my mom's listening. I know my dad and my brother are listening. I know that, you know. I know my son is listening. I know that those energetic entities are there, all my uncles and aunts who have, from an earthly perspective, transcended. They're all with me. There's power in that, folks. And I used to always question Dick, and I have to keep bringing Dick Gregory up, one of the most profound people. I'll tell you another one, and very profound. They called him Leroy Brown. Amiri Baraka, that really grounded me in radio and encouraged me to never give up, and I'll never forget that. He said, Daryl, don't you dare ever give up. I want you to keep this program, and this goes back 7 years, maybe eight, when these were stated. And you can hear them say this in the archives. Go to the archives, folks. The archives is blogtalkradio.com/, you know, the forward slash. That's the one right under the question mark. And so blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And you can go back and listen to all these programs with the late, great Amiri Baraka and Devya, who is a gong expert, one of the few actually gong experts in the area. And so, you know, you can go back and listen and hear some of that wisdom of these folks who have made their transition earthly, but yet their energy is here. And so I just encourage you all to keep a positive attitude with regard to whatever you're going through. And I believe that you'll emanate the circumstances and the the needs that you desire. And I'm not saying poof, the magic dragon, and here it is, it's there. Speaking of poof, the magic, we have Master Glenn with us. And, oh, I'm so elated. This is truly a treat. Whenever Master Glenn's able to join us, as I said, he's so in demand. He's traveling all over the world. But this evening, we have that treat of having Master Glenn with us. Dr. Glenn Mendoza, as I said, pranic healer. And a master of pranic healing, only one of less than 10 in the entire world. But he's also an MD by practice and by acknowledgement and respect around the world. I mean, he literally developed the neonatal intensive care unit at the Good Samaritan Hospital in New York. So this is a man of knowledge, but not just knowledge, wisdom. And don't mistake that. Those two are not the same. And so he's going to be speaking very shortly because he is in our presence. And we have the present of his presence. And we're going to be talking about a few things, including some excerpts from his books. We're going to be talking a little bit about that energy we were discussing earlier and, well, the value of it. Of course, with this being a full moon coming up tomorrow, we wouldn't dare have Master Glenn without him having a little discussion about that. And then maybe he'll share with us some of the things that he has going on, because he's always working on new and productive things. So without further ado, I'm going to bring to the airwaves Dr. Glenn Mendoza, a.k.a. Master Glenn. Master Glenn, welcome to another edition of Productive News Weekly.
Hi, Daryl. Thank you very much. Sorry for that. I've been getting a lot of junk calls, so I put my phone into silence for a known number, so I didn't know it was one of you were calling. Sorry. I forgot
That's
that.
That's okay. We're just grateful. We slot the time aside whenever you are able to join us. So we're here and we've got the availability to extend and have enough time to at least significantly get into some of the subject matter. Of course, there's so much going on, you know, so much upheaval. I actually tuned in yesterday to your weekly meditation, which is always so enlightening. And folks, I can't encourage you enough to join Master Glenn, not just monthly during the full moon meditation. I mean, you can go to the website, you can go to YouTube and see much of the work that he's doing. But every Wednesday he also has a weekly meditation, and it's so empowering. You know, I look forward to it. I'm not always able to catch it just because of the demand on my schedule. But when I miss it for more than a week, I feel like I'm kind of de-energized. And I meditate in between. But there's something about mass meditation, Master Glenn. There's something there, something energetic that I get when I tune in like that. So where do we start? Why don't we get the low fruit, which is the high moon? I'm on a roll today, Master Glenn. You should have heard me earlier. You would have had some fun. I was just on a roll because I haven't been live every week. I've been kind of reassessing the program to bring it forth, hopefully in a more broader and enhanced presentation. And so I'm here like the kid that's been let out, allowed to interact. So, yeah, I'd like to talk. We have a full moon tomorrow. I'd like to go into, from there, perhaps, you know, the aspects of the energy thereof, and then maybe into a little bit of the astrological aspect of what's going on in terms of where we are astrologically. And then maybe delve from that whole energy, astrological piece, into some of the modalities of wellness overall, with meditation being one, but there are others of which you're an expert, of only a few at your level in the world, and that's the pranic healing. Of course, there are numerous modalities for wellness, but I know folks are interested in that. And there are some areas in that I'd like to talk about, because I know that you're doing some workshops and retreats that are coming up, and I think people might be interested in knowing, you know, is this something that they may be able to get involved with? And then I'd like to just, you know, if we have some time, and I'm going to really make sure I try to slot some time to at least talk about a few excerpts from the books, which I've highlighted myself, which I find interesting. And we've been talking about this for some time, but I would love to have maybe, you know, a regular kind of a charted excerpt from the book. Of course, you know, the listeners would have to go out and get their copy, but if we could kind of delve deeper into, you know, any given program when you're able to join us, one area of the book, and perhaps, you know, before we end that particular program, we could let the listeners know what we would be talking about the next time that you're on, so that they can kind of focus and deep dive into that particular area of the book. So all of that said, let's talk about the full moon. I'm a moon child. I'm enamored, and I always have been. I don't know if that's because even as a kid, you know, reading something, picking up something about astrology, you know, oh, that's me. I don't know if that's it, or if it was even before that, I was just always enthralled with the moon. I don't know. I just think it's a fantastic heavenly body. Talk to us a little bit about the moon.
Oh, interesting you asked that. The moon itself is, in astrology, is considered one of the most important and actually influential planets in the solar system.
It's considered a planet?
Yeah, it's considered a planet in astrology, but not in astronomy. I remember it shouldn't be a surprise, but it looks like a surprise for us. The planet that's positioned closest to us here on Earth and the one easily seen on the eyes is actually a planet. That's interesting. So the moon itself, there are significance of the full moon and new moon, since we're dealing with it tomorrow. So in astrology, the moon represents represents our emotions, our moods, our instincts, our feelings. That's why the moon is related sometimes to fertility, high tide and low tide. The moon itself is like a mother figure to some extent. And unlike most planets in astrology, the moon is visible nearly every night, making it much more an astrological marker for us to track as we align it, as some of us align with the moon, like what you were saying, Daryl. So let's take out the full moon. We have two significant parts of the moon. We have a waxing and a waning. There are different phases of the moon, but by and large, the more important thing is actually the new moon or the full moon. So each lunar cycle starts with a new moon, which is separated approximately around 14 days between the full moon and the new moon, which waxes. With waxes means it grows larger for 2 weeks, and it climaxes to a full moon. Or the word is wanes, which means grow smaller for about 2 weeks until the end of the cycle, which is actually the new moon again. So for us purposes, I think I just want to talk about the point of energy. So the peak energy is actually in the full moon, although the new moon has its own energy also. So because we know, we talk about energy, so if we're going to do concept or a practice in Chinese, it's called feng shui, F-E-N-G-S-H-U-I, feng shui. That means it's you're flowing with the energy. Feng shui means wind and water. So you visualize a door on the other side filled with water. You open the door, the water should flow freely. So the full moon and the new moon, in to some extent, should have a flowing of energy during that time. That's why we call it an auspicious time to start a project. Anything to start with, you're moving, we time it. If you're going to move to a new place, a new workplace, a new house, a marriage, we try to time it during the full moon or the new moon because it's an auspicious time. So at least that's what I could say about the beginning and of the lunar cycle. So tomorrow will be the full moon. The full moon tomorrow, this is interesting because today is July 23, which is actually the start of Leo. So a couple of things I'd like to
discuss. Today is the 22nd.
Tomorrow will be the 23rd, which is actually the full moon of Leo. So it starts tomorrow. So one of the things I wanted to discuss is actually the cusp. It's called a cusp. A couple of things I'd like to discuss rather than say a full moon. Okay, that is how you remember. I did dabble. I think we could add in some information. So tomorrow will be June 23 until August 22nd, which is actually the sign of Leo. So those who are born between July 23 and August 22nd are actually on the sign of Leo. But if you're born on the 22nd, 23rd, or 24th, or even 1 or 2 days before the change, you are actually said to be in the cusp. So like the month before, we are on the sign of Cancer, and tomorrow it will be a sign of Leo. So those who are born yesterday, today, or tomorrow, and 1 or 2 days after are said to be in the cusp. What does that mean? That means those who are born in those dates have usually a combination of qualities of those two signs. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and I know folks like that. Mm-hmm.
This is actually this is what they call a zodiac cusp. These are the days between the signs, and one is rising as the other one is setting. So the Leo is coming out while Cancer is actually on its way out already. So you are technically maybe a Cancer, but you may feel like Leo. People who are born today. I hope somebody has a birthday yesterday or today. You technically is a Cancer, but sometimes when you look at the qualities which were of Leo, which we're going to discuss, you feel that. Or probably tomorrow and on the 24th, 25th, you technically you're already a Leo, but you may feel like and act like or driven like a Cancer to some extent. So this zodiac cusp represents the twilight days between the signs. So that's one thing I wanted to discuss with the group. The second thing is what we call elements. In the zodiac signs, we have 12 zodiac signs. I hope all of your listeners actually know their signs. So their signs, all the 12 signs are grouped into four elements, namely fire, earth, air, and water. So each of these signs has maybe a masculine or maybe feminine energy which they assign. And each energy has its own set of traits. These are typical ancient categorization of what we call elements. Sometimes I say it ancient because some of the ancient categorization will include a metal, or they'll include some like ether. This is just a little advanced more because some people look at the more solid and actually the more subtle. Let's talk about two of these elements, what I call fire and air. These are masculine, and it's something to do with action and communication. And earth and water are called feminine. So having said that, what's your sign, Darryl?
So, well, as a Cancer, I believe I'm a water sign.
So that's a feminine aspect. They are sensual, caring, nurturing, while the masculine are actually action and communications. So those are just generalized stuff, okay? So let's talk about first the water sign. The water sign, which Darryl is Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. So you could see the Cancer is the crab, the Scorpio it's under the water sign, and Pisces. So this water signs, they are, remember I mentioned, they are emotional. They are sensual. So if you qualify now the water sign, they're intuitive. They could be mysterious. They could be intense and emotional. They're sensitive. Of all the signs, compared to the other three elements, they are sensitive and they are emotional. Does it make sense? Can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The next is we talked about the other element of water, which is the earth sign, earthy. When you say earthy, you are grounded. You are steady. You are practical. You are down to earth. You are stable, consistent. So these are the Taurus, which is the bull, the Virgo, and Capricorn, the goat. So all of this are actually the earthy sign. Since they are like following a set pattern, they were saying like they could be stubborn, headstrong, and rigid at times. So the bull is said to be a hard, could be stubborn or rigid, as well as the Capricorn and Virgo. And moving along, we have the fire sign and the air sign, which are the masculine aspects. So fire sign are three, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. These fire signs are dynamic, they're passionate, active, competitive, and there could be also temperamental and impatient. So this makes you the fire sign. And the last one is the air sign, which is actually communication, which is Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. They are always on the go, adventurous, and risk takers. They are sharp and highly communicative. The air signs are very communicative and outgoing. So I hope that gives you an idea of the four elements that you are, and probably assign yourself, where am I? Then you could actually look at compatibility, like a fire sign will be compatible with an air sign. An earthy sign will, our earth sign will be more compatible with the water sign, that kind of thing. So I hope that gives you an idea of the four elements of astrology. Going to the full moon, tomorrow will be the full moon, actually at 10:37 in the evening. And as Daryl has mentioned, we always hold a full moon one day before on the day or one day after, depending on the availability or or timing where we can hold it. So tomorrow we'll have a full moon at 7:30 in the evening, a global meditation attended by a couple of hundreds of people now on the average to just meditate as a group. And what Daryl mentioned, the power of a group meditation, there is power in numbers. During the full moon, we could have as many as 500, and some full moons we could go into thousands, sometimes 5, 10, 15,000, depending on the type of the full moon and how much organizations we would like to have. So having said it's an auspicious time, it's a good time to meditate. The energy of the full moon is felt through group meditation and as a service to Mother Earth. So basically, I invite the group, those of you who would like to experience it, just go to fullmoonmeditation.us, full meditation.us. That was the website was actually encouraged by Daryl's interest in astrology and, of course, his program. So now we could log in and it will give you directions how to join the group. I'm open for any question or anything that you would like to ask, Daryl.
Yeah, so with the full moon of this is the full moon of Leo, fire sign, dynamic, passionate. Those are attributes of fire signs. Are there any more specific attributes towards the Leo versus the Sagittarius, I think, is fire?
Aries and Sagittarius.
Aries is Sagittarius, yes.
Yeah,
you're a fire sign, aren't you?
Yes, I am a Sagittarius. So, but let's talk about the fire sign, or let's talk about Leo itself. Think of somebody who's a Leo. Think of somebody that you know that is Leo. So Leo, as you understand, is actually a lion. So a lion, you know, even in cartoons, are big-hearted. There are the king of the jungle. So they are known for leadership, stability, consistency. So by and large, they could be they could be the heart or the center of a group discussion. Every time you see somebody who is in a group, chances are he could be a Leo. He just gives some fire and excitement, attention in any discussions. They're one of the most, could be the playful and creative, a little vain personality. So they're actually like the king. On the other hand, think of a person that you have who is a Leo. The Leo, being a king, treats his or her partner the king or the queen. So they have this. Although the king itself is very magnanimous, they have this kingly traits, but they treat their partners just as important. So in love and relationships, this Leo, people love the Leo because they give them the attention, they give them the comfort, they give them the drama, and give them the love that most people, it's a spot-loving fire sign. So I hope you could, the only way to really get to know this astrology is by looking if you have a partner. If you have a partner who's Leo, I said, wow, I could identify with that. That's really a Leo, a natural born leader. It's the qualities of big-hearted, they're productive, they're independent-minded, and fun to be around. Positive self-image, charming boss. I hope you could identify. I'm just getting excited when I could just imagine what the Leo will be like.
Yeah, and I'm sure our listeners are doing the same thing. They think about anyone they know, you know, born in that sign between July, 22nd, 23rd in that cusp area, all the way up until August 22nd, 23rd, 21st in that area, including the cusp. And my mom was a Leo, but the Leos I know, as you said, stability, consistency. Well, mom, of course, family. Co-heading, so to speak, with dad. Always in my lifetime, I was blessed to have, parents that, worked together and took pride in, both, making decisions that were, magnificently dynamic, impacting. But I think about my mom and the Leos that I know, they don't have a problem taking the lead. I mean, some people, hesitantly, they may be great at it. I mean, really excellent leaders, but maybe hesitant. But then when they jump in that limelight, they're, whoa, where did that? But Leos, right from the get, they're ready. Okay, so I'm the leader? Okay. It's like, oh, wonderful. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. It's just natural, I guess is the word. I want to say natural leaders. Just willing to head it up.
I have a question, Daryl. Does your mom give you the best birthday gifts ever?
Yeah, very thoughtful. Not to just give a gift. I know it's the birthday. I know it's time. Obviously, well thought out.
Yes.
The kind to
yes.
make you say, how did you know? Because they watch, they listen, and they really attune to who you are. And I guess that's a quality of a leader, Master Glenn, right? A good
uh-huh.
leader really assesses who they're, who they're leading, who it is that they have that responsibility for. To me, that's a great leader. And then address those needs, not just to recognize it and, ignore it, but to recognize it and then address those things to bring those abilities out in those who they're responsible over. So that's a great point that you make. Yes, the Leos that I know are really good at assessing those around them, those they care about. That's a good point.
So your mom is extremely generous with her time, attention, and affection, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
money. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Absolutely. Without any qualm.
So those are the qualities of, good, Daryl, we talk about your mom. You said your mom, because she's in charge of the house. It doesn't matter whether you're in charge. She has Leo are commanding and powerful. They are. They have self-confidence. Your mom has that?
Ooh, oh, off the chart. And it exudes it. It's not like you wonder. It just stands out. But you know, it's something I found. I know not a lot of Leos, but a few. Something about their mane. I mean, even if their hair is short, it's something that, and it's probably not across the board, because I know you have exceptions to all the signs you have. Well, the Cancers, you know, typically we're sensitive, but I'm sure there are some that are just aggressive and mean. But I think these are generalities that we're saying. But for the most part, the ones that I know, they really take pride in their hair. I mean, I know. Does that make sense?
That's interesting. That's interesting.
If you know any, think about that yourself. If you know any, if you know it, think of a Leo. Do they kind of make sure they take care of their hair? You know, I mean, they change styles. You're like, whoa, you just changed up. You went from curls to straight. I mean, you know, but they do have a focus on their hair. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with that whole mane, you know. But of course, you have the, you know, female line, which doesn't have that mane, but it's just something that I've noticed about Leo. So, and maybe it's not just the mane, because I will say, like thinking about my mom, always the nails and the toes, you know, done. So maybe it's just a self-perspective, period, now that I think about it. You know, always, I guess I could put it this way, had herself together is the way to put it. And the ones I know just, you know, like to feel good about themselves, looking good. It's not being arrogant. They just like to look good and feel good and take care of themselves, you know, their hair, their nails, you know, that whole thing, the way they dress. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. It's not the in fact, I remember a saying like the lion or the Leo, as we know it, it's not, they're not the fastest. They're not the biggest. They're not the, but they carry respect wherever they go. So that's why they call the king of the jungle. They could be ferocious when it's needed. They were there to protect you if they need it. So it's not, the elephant is bigger than the lion, but the lion is the king of the jungle. I couldn't remember. There's a saying like that, that the, not the biggest, not the fastest, not the, but it's enough to be the king of the jungle. So, interesting. So one thing we know is that by identifying with your mom, not only do you understand your mom more now, but you are actually able to use words that are actually classic for a person who's born in the sign of Leo. By understanding ourselves, if you're a Leo, we actually know more about ourselves and actually look at the qualities that we need to develop, qualities that we need to fine-tune, our strength. And at the same time, during this discussions, I'd rather not look at the weaknesses. People look at it half empty rather than half full. So as you can see, we are here during the full moon to get the positive, absorb the positive qualities of that particular sign, which is very strong on that particular area. Strength number one is generosity and big-heartedness. Number two, self-confidence. Three is determination and natural leadership. Those are couple of things you remember about the Leo. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That sums it up. Yeah, self-confidence, big-hearted, generous. And
mommy has them all.
Yeah, yes, so true, so true. So that's excellent. We have a full moon tomorrow, meditation. We're all going to go to fullmoonmeditation.us. We're going to tune in at 7:30 tomorrow, and we're going to have ourselves a good, plum-pleasing time. And Master Glenn is going to be at the helm. And Master Glenn is of a fire sign. And so it's perfect. It's a perfect time to tune in to this meditation. So now, with that said, this full moon being about energy and the energy that's available to us tomorrow with this full moon under this sign of Leo and all those attributes which we'll be able to access, even though we may not be Leos or on the cusp, we can still utilize those attributes. We can sort of meditate on those things. And of course, we would like to have all the attributes, the good positive attributes of all the signs and all the elements at all the time. But there are times, from what I understand, during the year, which some of those attributes are more emphasized, more available. And that's what I understand Master Glenn to be saying, that for this time period that we're in, especially at this peak period of the full moon, those attributes that I just spoke of, if you have anything that would especially be able to utilize those things, this is a great time to meditate on them. And when we say meditate on them, are we basically talking about using our minds, Master Glenn, to just say, okay, mind, I want you to take in, absorb, you know, as much stability as possible in this phase of my life and what I'm going through with this particular project at home or at work or in my community or wherever it is. I'm going to need this determination to get through this. Is that how you do that? I mean, specifically?
How we describe an auspicious or going with the flow, it's like walking on an escalator going upwards. So it's just easy. It's flowing. While if it's not smooth, it's like they're the opposite end. You don't know. You have to do the step. There's a lot of clumsiness. There's a lot of movements that you have to do because you're moving towards obstruction and difficulty. I think that's a nice way to put it. So during the full moon, it's like what's the other one? Like headwind. When you had a headwind in a flight, it's better than a tailwind. A tailwind. Tailwind, I think, is the one that is what we want. It increases the speed and reduces time. Like when we go from New York to California, it takes less time than from California going to New York because the tailwind increases the speed of the plane, reduces the time required to reach to California. So that's basically like working on a full moon. So I challenge your listeners, listen, let me try to do something. Start a project, start an idea, start an initiative on a full moon. And it goes for about 3 days within the exact date, which is July 23.
So up until the 26th, you can really utilize those strong energies.
Yes. That, remember we said about waxing? That's waxing and waning. So that's still in the cusp of the full moon, then it starts to wane.
So speaking of energy, stepping back, and we'll be on the Zoom meditation call tomorrow, but speaking of energies and utilizing energies for our wellness, that ties into the aspect of energetic healing, and more specifically, pranic healing. Same energy, different source, or same source, or combination of that and other sources? Or?
Interesting you said that. I am a sort of a master in pranic healing. It's it's given by my teacher. There are only 8 of us in the whole world who are given the Master Pranic Healer. And what is Pranic Healing? Pranic Healing is actually the premier energy healing modality, which is a complementary therapy, which could help add to complement medical treatment. But the main thing it does also is similar to what Daryl was saying, is to have energy flow. If a person has a knee problem or a knee pain, think of, for the listeners, think of any pain in your body or any sickness in any organ. So that means the energy is not flowing freely. Remember, we were talking about energy. So Pranic Healing is an energy modality to accelerate the healing process by making the energy flow. So this is because there are actually energy circuits or a network of energy, which we call meridians in Chinese, and actually in India they're called nadis. For our purposes, it's energy network. If the energy network is smooth, there'll be no problem. So with Pranic Healing, as we start to move the energy through a certain simple techniques, the energy will flow and the specific organ will start to heal or accelerate in the healing process. That is on the physical level. How about the emotional level? So we realize that there are relationships we have that are a little not so smooth. Let's go for the smooth first. If energy relationships are smooth, there's harmony, there's love, there's a fraternity, or there's a family energy that's going on. But if it's not, you realize there's a certain blockage. So even in Pranic Healing, emotional and mental or psychological situations could be helped by Pranic Healing. That's as a nutshell as it can be related to a flow of energy that we have been talking about.
So on an emotional level, not so much physical, there's always an energy involved as well, even with the mental. I guess emotional is a subset of the mental. So, I mean, they're kind of tied together.
The thing to do about thinking and feeling, thinking and feeling are actually almost combining. If you have to look at it, think of somebody you love. Do you love that person? You think you love that person, or you feel you love that person? Think about it. So you realize thinking and feeling, there's an overlapping of that. So we think, I think I love you, but I feel I love you too. The more accurate saying is that I think and feel that I love you. So that's basically a combination of the psychological, emotional, and mental part in general. So move that a little further, it goes to a nation. A nation, energy is flowing, there's progress, there is peace, there is order, there's prosperity. So there is energy moving auspiciously or normally in a nation. While on the other hand, if there is chaos, if there is war, if there's poverty, if there are problems in society, that means energy is not flowing. So it could go through an organ or a cell or a cell, an organ, or a human being, and it could extend all the way out to society and through the whole world.
You're really drawing some energetic thoughts with me now when you start to broaden that scope. Because when I think about a national, can't that be even narrowed down to a neighborhood, a community, a town, state?
You realize in wherever your listeners, there's a dingy part of town. There is a dangerous part of town. We don't see it that much now, but in the past, there were dangerous parts of town you avoid. So that means energy is not flowing there. crime is high. So remember, now that I brought it up, you realize divisiveness in a certain way, separation or separativeness is also a sign that energy is not flowing. And it's so obvious, even in our country, that there are separation, and some people would even like to divide it. So instead, these people are divisive, these people want to separate, and some people would like to harmonize it. People would like to build on it. So I would ask your audience, your listeners, to work, look at the leaders who would like to move it forward in a bigger, harmonious, better way. So you can't force some issues. Does it make sense now? To what? Somehow
that makes a lot of sense.
Energy. Everything is energy, and energy is everything.
So with that said, before we move on, when we're talking about using pranic healing to bring balance to an energetic state that may be out of balance or blocked, can you exude that on an individual without them knowing? It's like prayer. You know, you can pray for someone, they don't even know you're praying. And I've seen studies where people who don't even know they're prayed for, you know, I've heard studies, you know, they seem, they've healed faster, even though they don't even know, you know, studies have been done. So can that be done with pranic healing? Can you impress on that with a person?
Excellent question. We're doing energy healing, and you could do energy healing in person. You could do energy healing distantly. You could do energy healing with the person knowing you're healing them, and you could also heal the person without them knowing. Okay, this is how I'll do it in two simplistic form. Number one, think of a loved one you have, and they don't believe in prayers, or they don't believe in energy healing, they don't believe in you, but this is somebody close to you. It could be a partner, it could be a child, it could be a parent, it could be a cousin, but with the love in your heart, you would love to help them. It's not unusual that we have healers say, the mother says, could you do healing on my son? He has drug addiction. He has alcoholism. Could you heal my husband? He had alcoholism. So what happened with the love in your heart, people will heal them because this is their loved ones. That's easy to understand. The second thing in our American society, particularly, like I'm a medical doctor, you need a consent. You need a consent. You cannot just touch, heal people without them knowing. Okay. I answer it this way. We have what we call a soul. The soul, more subtle, this is supposed to be our purpose of life. If you believe it that way, that's assumption. This soul, does it want our body to suffer? Or does the soul want our body to be healthy? So without question, the soul wants our body to be healthy. So that's easy. If I'm an energy healer, this person, whether they're aware of it or not, ask permission of the higher soul so they could be healed because they are in suffering. You don't want to heal somebody who doesn't have any problem, but a person who's in the hospital, a person who had, listen, it's no different from a prayer. Whether you like it or not, I will pray for you. Daryl, I know you don't believe in religion. I know you don't believe in prayer. I don't, you know, you don't believe in pranic healing or energy healing, but I will do it just the same because for the love in my heart and my heart of hearts, I will do it. I hope that is acceptable because this is what I tell our teachers to explain it in the class.
Wow. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, a good example is that if you see somebody who's drowning, what do you do? Do you say, listen, do you really want to drown yourself? Are you drowning yourself? You talk to them first. Are you drowning yourself, or you just say and you ask questions later on?
You just jump in, ask them later, did you mind that I saved your life?
Well, why did you save me? I wanted to kill myself. I don't know that. You should have left a big sign that don't save me, don't touch me.
Well, that's a good analogy.
That's an excellent question, and I think people will identify it. Listen, I have an addiction. I have a drug addiction. I have alcohol addiction. I'm okay. I don't know what it is, but my loved one, my husband, my wife sees that I'm suffering. I'll help you with love of my heart. I think that makes sense. And same with prayer.
That makes nothing but sense. And I think about that back to the whole meditation when we pray for Mother Earth, we pray for our towns and our homes and our countries. That's kind of linked in with that. But I ask about pranic healing because it's a more specific modality to learn in my limited practice under you, with you. And so I wanted to just get that answer out to the listeners. So this is something that can be learned, and there's information that is available to folks. Yes?
Yes, yes. You could come to our website. We have in-person, we have workshops that are available. We have meditation groups in different places. Just go to pranichealingusa.com. PranicHealingUSA.com. We're going to have launching a new and better website in the next couple of days.
PranicHealingUSA.com. How are you spelling pranic?
P-R-A-N-I-C, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G.
USA.com.
Uh-huh.
Check it out, folks. I know you have a couple of retreats. One, you talk about arhatic yoga. And, I've taken yoga, a few yoga courses. And I think in terms of the physical with arhatic, and we were having some discussions, and you were saying that's not necessarily always the means of the word yoga being utilized. Can you expound a little bit on that? Because folks may go to the website and see that you have this arhatic yoga available coming up very soon and not, from the description, have a strong enough understanding of what that is.
Arhatic yoga is divided into two words, arhatic. Arhatic comes from the root word a highly evolved being. It's equivalent to a saint. And yoga in Sanskrit means to unite. What does this two mean, really? So yoga, as we understand it, everybody's thinking that yoga is only, you need a yoga mat and you do this asanas or to make it a little bit humorous, like this pretzel movements, and you will find peace, you will find strength and all that. But actually the meaning of yoga, or what we call union, is union with our higher soul. So I will tell you, union with the higher soul will happen to all of us, and we will unite with our higher soul. We will unite with that light when we die. So all of us will experience yoga when we die. The purpose of yoga is actually to experience the union with our soul while we're still alive. That's why this program of yoga, wherein we do meditation, we do character building, we do spiritual practices consistently to become a better person. And that better person is equivalent to a saint or an arhat. So the qualities of a saint, the qualities of a highly evolved being, is actually what we're trying to emulate. That is basically what Arhatic Yoga is. And I will say more, I'll speak for myself, but Arhatic Yoga is more of the mind. It's a synthesis of all the yogas. We have the physical exercise, we have the breathing exercise, we have the devotional aspect, we have more so is the mental or the mind aspect. So Arhatic Yoga develops the mind. We want people to think, we want people to have critical thinking, and we want people to be focused on their mind and not be manipulated. So I think in the future, which is now, actually people will have the skill to use their mind to help Mother Earth, to help themselves and their families to do that. And Arhatic Yoga is the platform that we can have. The question, one of the questions people have is that, but I don't want to change my religion. No, you keep your religion. As our teacher, founder of modern pranic healing and Arhatic Yoga, Grandmaster Choa Koksui said, you don't have to change your religion when you take Arhatic Yoga as a spiritual path or a practice. You just become a better Christian. You become a better Jew. You become a better Buddhist, or you become a better Muslim. So you do not have to change your religion. In fact, I will speak for myself again, there are a lot of us, even in our own religion, that we are questioning our religion. So what happened was that you will love the teachings of your religion, not only your religion, but also other religions, because this our truth is universal, and this is open for all. So we offer this Arhatic Yoga. There are only eight people, or a little bit more, the number of your hands of both left and right hand, who are teaching this throughout the whole world. So I would like to invite the audience to look at Arhatic Yoga. Right now, a lot of this can be Googled for information and questions.
Beautiful. Simply beautiful. You spoke of a couple of things, and one of which was to be a better person. And I think it's a great segue in the next few minutes we have left towards some excerpts from one of the books that you have, Better Person Mindset. The subtitle is Be the Best You Can Be, 9 Things to Think and Act. And, I've read the book, and now having had this discourse with you, Master Glenn, a lot of what's in that book, it threads through this dialogue we've had. I mean, there are some other things in there. I mean, I look at the chapters. I mean, Know Thyself clearly ties in and threads in what we've been talking about, the power of thought. The virtue of being happy and pursuit of happiness. And you talked about cycles as well, and awareness and meditation. All that, it threads in the book, Better Person Mindset. A couple things we really didn't talk about, like karma is in the book, and sacrifice and service. Well, no, we did, because we talked about servicing beyond ourselves, servicing others, the person who doesn't. So even that we threaded in this conversation. That whole virtue of gratitude goes without saying. But those are just some of the, as you know so well, the chapter headings in the book. Better Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can Be, 9 Things to Think and Act. So what I want to ask you, the 9 things are Know Thyself, Karma, the Power of Thought, the Virtue of Gratitude, Pursuit of Happiness, Cycles. You talk about cycles. That's an interesting one, the Doctrine of Cycles. Sacrificing and serving, sacrifice and service, being awareness, and then that leads into the 9th thing, which is meditation. Of the nine, now here's the question of innumerable value. Is there any one that would supersede the others?
Actually, they complement each other. You needed that. Mm-hmm. You cannot have real true happiness if you're the only one who's becoming happy. The others must be happy also. In fact, there are people see themselves happy if they have done something for others. The true happiness is to serve. So that is the serve. When I said sacrifice, actually those are old terms, sacrifice, but the modern term I use is service rather than sacrifice. So all of them are actually a part of a constellation of concepts and principles and practices that one should do. There is no silver bullet. It's a combination of both, of all everything, because each one of us have their own strength. Some people meditate more, and they have to do a little bit more about their thoughts, becoming aware of their thoughts. Some people know about themselves. Some people don't. So these are actually a buffet of practices, principles, concepts, and doctrines that all of us should understand to become better person, and they are all universal. The book itself, it will show you that I go to different religions or different faiths and philosophies, so everybody would know that it's not only unique for Christian, but also in other religions and cultures.
You know, and we've talked about this a lot, but I do often mention that everyone has some challenge, something, and of course everything is relative. Some from different perspectives are greater challenges than others from their own perspective, and then from others from an outside view may feel that different things are of a greater burden to an individual than they even think of themselves. All that to say that we all have these challenges that we're coping with, big and or small. This book intended to help us to better cope with the challenges, to overcome, to avoid the challenges, or all of the above?
Actually, these are tools to use when you have challenges, or these are tools to use when you don't want the challenges to happen. If you just become if you ask yourselves, I think I have a good life. Why do you have a good life? Then you realize because you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Oh, that makes sense. I mean it on both ends.
Hmm. Okay.
Does it make sense?
So it makes nothing but sense. So with the time we have left,
yes,
and I mentioned the nine principles or the things to think and act, the one that seems most vague to me, the others seem obvious: gratitude, happiness, thoughts are things. We have talked about that over the years. Karma, I think most folks know that, and the importance of knowing thyself, sacrifice, you just mentioned that. Of being aware and meditation. I've done a whole program once on just being aware. But the doctrine of cycles, can we just for a few moments, talk about the doctrine of cycles?
Yeah, cycles is interesting. Everything is in cycles. We inhale, we exhale. Our heart goes into systole or contraction and relaxation. The sun rises, the sun sets. So everything goes into cycle. Again, it's about energy. If we flow with the cycles, life will be easier. In the olden times, farmers will know that it's going to be a bad winter because they knew how cycles are working, and this is what they're going to do. They will stock up on things that they need to do for the winter, and when they do that, they have when the winter stays a little longer, then they're safe. That's cycles. So by March, again, energy flowing with the cycles.
That's what I was just going to say. So it's like when you're out in the ocean and you're, you know, you're just kind of waiting, and you know how the wave, you know, floats you higher and it floats you lower. And you just kind of float on top of that wave. And I used to just play with, I love, you know, myself just being in the ocean and swimming. But one of the things that I kind of enjoy is just for those who understand, you know, the whole concept of being able to float on the water. If you allow the ebb and flow of the water and not resist it, it won't splash over you. You'll just kind of flow with it. And that's what I sensed when you explained that. It's just kind of floating
just flow with it.
With the water. Yeah. I think maybe sometimes we do resist. I think we do resist things.
We resist consciously or unconsciously because of programs that have been probably with us that were inculcated with us. People reject it because there's some inherent programs or tendencies that we have. That's why we're not open for this other concepts. What I ask your listeners to do is to keep an open mind. Do not believe everything I say, but do not disbelieve everything I say also, unless you yourself experimented or understand it over time and with your own reason and understanding, accept it only at that time.
Wow, that's a great way to segue to close out.
Thank you.
We didn't get into spiritual truths. So, folks, the other book that we were going to talk about this evening was Spiritual Truths. But you are aware of Better Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can Be by Dr. Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, Mendoza, M-E-N-D-O-Z-A. It's a quick read, folks. It's not like it's a novel. It's not like it's 300 pages. It's a book you can take to the beach or to the park or wherever you like to go, 100 pages. And it's by chapter, by topic, so if you kind of want to use it as a resource, you can do that as well. I recommend it. I'm not trying to just promote it just for the sake of sales. That's not why you wrote it. We've had those discussions over the years. So I do endorse the book. It's a go-to that I go to from time to time for those various seven things that I'm just drawn to, and I'm glad to have it. Someone told me, a mentor many, many years ago, everything you need is around you. And he happened to be a master herbalist and took a few courses with him. And he gave an example. If you're in the forest, you ever get bit by a snake or get some poison ivy or something, and you really know how to survive in the wilderness, you will 99% of the time be around something that can help. There's always something or someone around you for every circumstance, and it's good to have yourself aware of those things, and this book is sort of like that. Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, I can't thank you enough. Yeah. The other book is Spiritual Truths. When you look up the Better Person Mindset, that book will come up as well. We're going to have a deeper dive into that book in the months ahead. Dr. Mendoza, you know we've been talking about that, sort of like a book review, because there's so many golden nuggets in there that I just truly believe will be helpful with everything going on in this society. If the few listeners, whether it's 10 or 50 or 1,000 of us, can embrace some of these things, perhaps we can just germinate them to others and just help to make this planet a better place. A lofty goal, perhaps chasing a rainbow, but, you know, I read something recently that said everything sounds kooky until it works out. Like when Edison invented the light bulb, oh, I can't believe he's trying to make light out of electricity, until it comes into fruition. So I'm going to keep having my lofty goals, and I encourage everyone to do the same. How's that sound, Dr. Mendoza?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation. Have a nice weekend. Have a nice full moon tomorrow.
All right. We're looking forward to seeing you on the Zoom call tomorrow. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. We were just blessed to have Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, respectfully referred to. And I can just say that, you know, it spoke for itself. I'm going to recommend you go back and just absorb, listen again, because it's like a good movie. You always pick something up the second time around. And join me tomorrow. I'll be on that full moon meditation with the thousands around the world. And you'll feel that energy that we're talking about. Folks, if you don't think, I'm not even going to say that. I was going to say, if you don't think, you know, that there's nothing crazy going on in this world different than ever before in the history of, I believe, mankind, you know, something's wrong. No, we all know. There's no coincidence. A global pandemic, I mean, I stopped there. The politics of the world, what's happening, there's always been upheavals, but what's happening now is on a more of a massive scale. So it's going to be important, folks, that you and I, us, those who are enlightened, well, we're going to be the ones that make the difference. There was a David and there was a Goliath, and right now it appears as though we're the Davids, but it's okay because we know the outcome, and that's the key. One of the keys to success is knowing the outcome, right? Because we produce it by knowing it. So with that said, I just give you peace. I give you love. I give you the good health that I'm able to project on you, as Master Glenn said, and I wish you happiness. So until the next time, we didn't have time to take the questions. I'm just asking that you tell someone about Productive News Weekly. And in the weeks ahead, we'll be having more live programs with more enlightened guests, keeping it real, keeping it live. Keep your head to the sky. That's what we opened up with for my late tuners. And we're going to close with that one because that's what we have to do, folks. Keep our head to the sky. And as Master Glenn said, don't believe everything you see and hear. Do your own introspect. And you'll make a difference. God bless you. Love you. And we'll see you the next time on Productive News Weekly.